Greetings and welcome to the 50th episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, brought to you live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Yeah, or if you're a real estate agent lying to a white person, East Williamsburg. All right. How's everybody feeling?
Good.
Doing good.
Good, good. I'm just glad I didn't fuck that joke up. All right. So first of all, I want to congratulate my compadres up here for our 50th episode.
Yes. Yeah.
And what better way to celebrate a podcast than to be in a room full of people who've never heard of your podcast?
There you go.
That's how you do it.
Awesome. So anyway, for those of you that don't know, I am SVP, and as always when we do these fucking things, we're joined by
Tyron Lopez,
Mark Abbott,
and
Kirk Johnson.
All right, so here's the deal. Even though it's a school night, we, the ambitious motherfuckers that we are, have decided that we are going to discuss the Marvel Universe ad infinitum, or whatever the fuck.
Infotatum.
Let's go with that. Let's try to finish this within an hour, because let's say everybody else.
It took them 10 years. We're gonna do it in an hour. We're gonna do it in an hour.
And you know what?
That's adult shit.
Yeah, that's right.
It's that adult shit. Yep.
So
starting off.
First question. I'm gonna just throw it over to Taryn.
Oh, you're gonna do the whole flourish, man. Iron Man 2008.
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay.
All right. Great. So, Taryn, it's 2008. You're working on the yearbook and getting ready for prom.
Wow. You really know who I am. Thank you, though.
Wow.
Thank you. I was actually.
I'm playing.
Shots fired.
I'm playing. But, all right. So, Iron Man. No one can deny the perfect casting.
Yes.
But. Where's the line between acting and behaving?
Damn.
Well, come on, he's been good. He's been good ever since. Like, I think that the whole acting, like, they took that whole dark past out of Tony's past in the movies anyway.
Okay.
So I kind of feel like, while we all know, you know, the comic book Tony Stark, and we know that he, you know, rampant alcoholic, drug use, the depression, all that good all stuff.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And we know that, you know, Robert Downey Jr. kind of embodied that in his career early on. He's actually been quite good and on the level since then. So I think it was really about the acting. He just really owned that character. I mean, he would go to Comic Cons and actually walk up there and be like, no, don't call me, you know, don't call me by my real name. I'm Tony Stark today. And that would just be it. He would just be Tony Stark. Like, there are not many actors that actually do that. And it's really awesome that he is.
Let's just be honest. Let's all thank God this actually happened, because, let's face it, if it hadn't happened, Robert Downey Jr. would probably be walking up to Comic-Con, people talking about, you got some rocks.
Right. You know, a funny thing, when you mentioned that, I couldn't help but think, are we afraid to think that, you know, that young Tony Stark sucked dick during a heroin binge? Lesson zero, I'm just saying.
Boy, I was raised with a fucking silver spoon.
See what's become of me.
Maybe.
He only did. Listen, I don't know what Tony Stark wanted to do. If he wanted to suck a dick, then he sucked a dick. I don't think he ever had to.
Okay.
I'm not going to, you know, hold it against him.
I'm just saying, Dad might not be like, you know, I'm tired of giving you money. I don't know where it's going.
Dad was dead.
Hey, let's not argue about that. Let's argue about this. Mark.
Yes, dad is dead.
Do you buy the war profiteer growing a conscience?
Mm. You know, that was an interesting concept to do for Tony.
Just saying.
I because of the way the character's mind work, I bought it. Mm. I did, because he was struggling with his own demons, and near-death experience will change anybody. So I could buy into the idea that Tony Stark had changed his mind about being wealthy off of making war products.
Okay.
Especially when and I do think, because his own product turned against him, that was something that jostled him a lot.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. Hi, Alex. All right, Kirk. Like it or love it, as far as Iron Man goes.
You know, I gotta say, I loved it.
Loved it.
I did. I really enjoyed it. I saw it more than once.
Yes.
The Easter egg at the end with One-Eyed Sam.
Oh yeah.
One-Eyed Sam.
That was the first time we
the music.
Learned not to walk out.
Not to walk out.
No more.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, to have you know, I am Iron Man.
To actually play,
it's kind of like somebody really said, you know what, this would be a good idea,
mm-hmm.
right? And after it was just phenomenal. I really, really dug what they did with it. And I loved how they gave the character an arc, like a real arc.
Okay.
Like a good arc. It was like a Marvel arc.
Good stuff. Moving on. The Incredible Hulk, released in 2008. Mark?
Yes.
Given the current state of affairs, Edward Norton... Good casting choice or no? Do you miss him or is Mark Ruffalo your man?
You know what? If you would have asked me after the change was made, I would have said I missed Ed.
Oh.
And there's a part of me that still does. Mm-hmm. I personally think out of all of the people who have played Banner, he was probably my favorite. Ruffalo plays him a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I kind of get the idea that Ruffalo is just trying to hold back, whereas Norton was really facing something.
All
and
right.
I think his version of the Hulk, I mean, I wasn't too happy with Abomination, the way that played out in the film.
Right.
But I was one of those people that was upset when he got replaced.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of sense that.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you that.
Yeah, I was kind of... Because of the way it was done. It's like what they did with...
I'm going to get to that. Yeah. Kirk.
Yeah.
Why they got fuck up Harlem, son? What's up with that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know why they chose Harlem. I guess to explain why... gentrification, maybe. I don't know. explain why we need to change shit up.
Okay.
I really think that they really had no idea they were going to do Luke Cage in Harlem. So they figured, you know what? Sam, you know Harlem. Sam was like, yeah, I know Harlem. Let's put some shit in Harlem. Right, you don't mind that? No, I think they'd like that.
All right.
So they put
Luke Cage jumps in. It's a different fight.
Yeah, it becomes a different fight. I'm amazed in Luke Cage, nobody mentioned the fact that there was a big green motherfucker that fucked up my car. Like, there should be a dude who's really old and angry all the time, just passing through Luke Cage going like,
Grady.
Some green dude
Grady.
Fucked my shit up. Yeah, Grady.
Grady from 135th and St. Lennox.
Yeah, and there should be a dude who has the videotape of that
and
actual
Lennox
fight.
And Lennox Ave, I should say.
Right.
Wants to know what happened to his Cadillac.
Why I had my Cadillac.
Maybe that was what's the name of the Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, see?
Oh.
Well, there you go. Right. Terrence.
What's up?
Any thoughts on the Hulk before I jump out?
I mean, it wasn't my favorite one. It was a vast improvement upon the Eric Bana version.
Was
leaps and bounds better than Eric Bana's rendition of the Hulk, the book, movie and actor-wise.
All right.
But he wasn't perfect for me. There was something that was like, I don't know, I get what you're saying, because there was a lot of anger there, and I could totally feel like he was wrestling with it, but it almost felt like it was too extreme for what... I wanted it. It felt like a DC hero. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean like it was a darker version. And like looking at that movie with the other continuities, I kind of feel like it would have been a darker arc for the Hulk. And I don't feel like it would have fit the continuity the way that the new version of the Hulk does.
Okay.
So I personally, I'm a Ruffalo fan. So I'm good with it now. But I respect Norton. I like that movie. I don't love it, but I like it.
All right.
Yeah.
Moving on, Iron Man 2. Maybe not the greatest movie of all time, but...
I liked it, actually.
Let's see.
Sit here and drink my wine.
Kirk. Well, Kirk, there were Easter eggs.
I still remember those Easter eggs. In there. You got War Machine. Oh, you got a prototype for Captain America's shield.
Uh-huh.
That was up in there after he created the Stark element. Mm-hmm. Starkium.
Mm-hmm.
Starkium? I don't know. Well, he's oh, and you know what? Can't remember that cat's name who was his arch rival. You have another...
The arms dealer.
You have another arms dealer involved, right?
Oh, right.
Of course, you get Black Widow is introduced in this.
Black Widow is introduced. Right? That's significant.
And with Black Widow coming in, you have, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah? Right?
Yes.
You have really have now somebody coming in, taking over into the S.H.I.E.L.D. And what other Easter egg? War Machine.
Well, let's talk about that, because in Iron Man 1,
yes.
you had Terrence Howard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Suddenly, Don Cheadle is showing up.
Yeah, man.
I really want to
man.
So.
I was okay with that.
We'll go down. It's like, who's okay with it, who's not?
I'm okay. I mean, Don Cheadle's awesome. I love Don Cheadle, but I really want to see a Terrence Howard War Machine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that would have just been really fun. I just really wish he got the chance once.
Right, because then Cookie would have probably showed up.
Exactly. Once you got Cookie in the mix of Marvel, oh my God.
What the hell are you wearing?
Can you imagine
man,
Wakanda?
It's my exactly. War Machine.
Can you imagine Cookie and Wakanda?
Cookie Wakanda? Baku would have broke her already.
Right?
Baku would have
tossed her out.
That's a couple right there.
Yep.
She'd have been singing, "Oh, sweet mystery
yo.
Of life, at last I found you."
Yeah, Danny would have seen nothing but people beating the hell out of with that club.
And I hate to say it like this, but Don Cheadle playing War Machine
yes.
was like Danny Glover fighting the Predator.
Oh, come on.
No,
hey,
I don't
no.
think. No,
hey, that hurts.
That hurt, right?
That hurts.
Low blow.
I love
that hurt.
It's Don Cheadle, baby.
Cheadle. I love Cheadle.
It's rocking.
But I just feel that
Don Cheadle. I said I loved you.
I love Don Cheadle as an actor.
So you would have preferred It's Hard Out Here for War Machine?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
No. Dude, I'm sorry.
It's hard out there for War Machine.
They didn't seem to have the same kind of chemistry.
War Machine, the best man.
I mean,
talk to the
not the same chemistry. Okay.
No, they didn't have the same kind of chemistry. It's like, to me, Terrence Howard and Robert Downey Jr., I kind of had this. You kind of got a feeling that they had an off-screen friendship.
Yeah, you felt like they hung out.
So they hung
out. Okay.
I bet they did.
But I think
Don Cheadle felt like he was replacing someone.
Yeah.
Yes.
He feels like your friend that's like chilling at
and
home.
That's not his fault. I mean, it comes down to, you know, in the first movie, they kind of set it up really well in the first movie.
Yeah,
they set it up very well in the first movie. Where now Don Cheadle has to catch up.
Right.
And I think I have also another thing. Don Cheadle, Terrence Howard comes across more like a straight man to Tony Stark to Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to now Don Cheadle comes across more as equal part of a trio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to a straight man.
Also
all right.
Because
he drops
just as many jokes and one-liners. And I think he delivers them better than if Terrence Howard was there doing it.
Yeah.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
He is a better actor.
He is a superior actor.
What's that movie? House of Cards?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he has range and he has legit.
Hotel Rwanda.
Shit. Rocket from Colors.
So, real quick, Mark, Iron Man 2, like it or love it?
Like it. I can't say I love that movie.
Okay.
I love anybody again.
Well,
except for Kirk.
Do you think Don was phoning it in? Do you think Don was just like, well, shit, I'm the diversity pick now, so, you know, I'm good.
He rocked it. He rocked it with them Rockets, man.
No, he did. He did. And a side note.
That's a lot of wine.
If anybody wants to run down at 143 and bring in some better tape, that'd be awesome. Anyway.
Nobody has tape.
Then this happened.
Not in
Williamsburg. Going into the galaxy. Rocket was looking
great. Hey, it's a digital world now. We don't do tape.
All right. Stay with me.
Digital world. Yes.
Thor.
So, Kirk, because you are our resident sword and sorcery motherfucker, I'm going to ask you, no pressure, your quick thoughts on all three Thor movies.
Okay. The first Thor, Can I be real? Can I be real?
Be real.
Be real.
All That's right. why you here.
It's All okay. right. First door.
Just do it.
The same old pretty nigga trying to figure shit out. Thought he's top dog. And, you know, gained some humility because dad had to smack his ass. Put him down to earth. And then, you know what it was?
What was it?
Natalie Portman. Portman.
So for you, Natalie Portman saves the movie.
Natalie Portman wasn't there, Thor wouldn't have had wouldn't have figured out he needed to be a human. He wouldn't have figured out his humanity if Natalie Portman was there. If it was kind of like, if it was Michelle Geller, it wouldn't have been the same movie. There you go. I got Mark in.
So
I love it.
Michelle Geller. So random.
It is. But so is Natalie Portman.
That is a little random.
Natalie Portman's Queen Amidala. Don't know.
Queen Amidala.
All right.
From the prequels, nobody wants to admit that.
So that's all how right. you felt about the first.
But the two. But
the
yeah.
second one.
And, but the first one.
Dark
and,
World.
And the first one had really crappy special effects production.
It did.
In terms of the costume design?
That's true.
The costume design was
And the creature design. That friggin', yeah. the century or whatever the hell that was.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
But I see what Brenner was trying to do.
Yes.
And I appreciate what he's trying to do.
Yes.
All right.
And two, it was kind of like they were fighting to give Natalie, like, another a piece, really, of the storyline.
Yeah.
And I don't hate, I actually like two more so than one. Because Loki has a lot more going on.
Oh, yes. It is the Loki movie. Yes.
Right? Loki was just a little...
True. It was all Loki.
Loki played the younger... Loki in the first one played like the younger brother who's mad at his older brother for getting all the dap.
Mm. Yes.
He's like, I'm mad at you, man. Why you gotta be dude like this? And then we come to find out, really, it was like, hi, Mom. I'm really sad. I love you, son. Right? It was like, it was like absentee dad and shit without, when he's really actually there. He's
well, look, I mean, Loki is a compelling character, but first of all, that motherfucker's adopted.
Yo, so, and even like, that even made it even better. Because the idea, the whole idea is, he was a hostage. He was a hostage. Mm-hmm. He was that dude, if you fuck up, I kill this little motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Right? And it became something totally different. And I know literally what it sounded like with Odin and Freya in the bedroom. I gotta kill that little nigga. I gotta kill him quick. And Freya's like, no, come on, don't call him that. That's really derogatory. And she was like, he's a good kid. We should hold on to him. And that's literally what happened.
That's your boy.
Anthony Hopkins.
That's your boy.
All right. Ragnarok.
Eccleston as
yes.
Malekith. Eccleston's a top notch actor.
True.
He's on the arm. Mm-hmm. So for him to get such a little play, that's the director's fault.
Mm.
That's the director and the writer's fault. Because he can play the shit out of whatever the fuck you give him. Mm-hmm. He is one of the best Doctor Who's that came out from Doctor Who.
Okay.
And it was sad. It was just sad how it's been received.
No, which I understand.
But I actually enjoyed it.
Okay.
And the whole Aoife shit and teleporting, that was fun.
Mimya.
Mew, going back and forth, trying to figure out why this fucking hole keeps going in different places. That was cool. Ragnarok,
please. First of all, I think we can all admit Ragnarok is fucking hilarious.
You have to tell me that you like that movie because I will fight you.
Ragnarok, I'll say that, all right, I wasn't a fan of the first Thor. Second Thor, it was okay, you know.
Right, it was decent.
It was something to do aside from other things.
Yes.
Ragnarok, I've seen that shit like 5 times.
No, like, seriously, it is like just the feel-good movie.
I downloaded Led Zeppelin just so I can work out. When that song came out, I was like, oh, this nigga going to gym.
Just the intro where he's just hanging there. He's like, you're probably wondering how
yes,
I got here. I was like,
that was,
done.
And,
done.
Sertor, I'm sorry, Sertor was fat. That whole thing,
yes.
The only, I say this, and this is a small nitpick. The only thing missing from Ragnarok was Flash Gordon. Remember Flash Gordon? With the Hawkman come out?
With the Valkyrie.
Yep. When they were fighting on the ships? Mm-hmm. If they added that shit in, man, my whole work, I'd be working out right now.
Look, we had Jeff Gold.
I'd be at the gym right now listening to fucking Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon and Ragnarok.
No, you wouldn't.
Jeff Gordon.
All right. So.
Oh, and that end climax, the climax fight where he just... Lightning everywhere.
Everything, yeah. I just really like how they set it up. Like, they needed to advance Thor for Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that movie put it perfect. Like, perfect. He was ready. Like, was I actually awesome. Believe, like, this guy can actually fucking take it
right.
on, you know? Even though right.
all and a great mix of sci-fi and sorcery.
Yes.
In terms of magic. So back to the sword
and
sorcery.
And
80 cents.
I fucking love that
yes.
sound.
I would have figured, just from what I know of you, I just figured you would have been loving all three of them. But all right, fine.
Some of them, you know.
But no, I get it. I get it. I totally get it.
Well, I love the dragon.
Okay, jump it backwards for a second.
Uh-oh.
Captain America.
Yes.
The first Avenger, or as I like to call him, the 100-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
Now, surprisingly, this movie is actually one of my favorites of the entire run.
It's a great movie.
Because it's a great movie. It's a great period piece.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Just take out the name Marvel. It
yeah.
is just a great movie.
Right. Absolutely. So, and it helped open the door, of course, to S.H.I.E.L.D. and, of course,
yes.
the deceased Agent Carter. It's a linchpin in the whole thing.
Which
any other thoughts?
I knew before I saw the movie I was going to love it because the director was the guy who did The Rocketeer.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh, and I loved The Rocketeer. I thought that was one of those movies that I was glad they never did a sequel because they could have messed that up royally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a great period piece. And otherwise, I would kind of say boring Avenger.
Mm.
Yeah.
Goody, goody.
They made him. They made it. They did it. Yes,
he had no real character
they,
arc per se.
No, not really.
One, but they fixed
but,
that.
But
yes,
the Red Skull.
Yeah.
They fixed that. That one movie though.
You
that
go weaving,
changed,
baby.
Yeah.
The Red Skull.
You go weaving.
Yeah,
come on.
So they did. I think they did an excellent job with
absolutely
him, with what they had.
Yeah. All right.
Miss Agent Carter. Missing Agent Carter.
Seriously.
Right now, we'll take that bit of business and we'll jump into the Avengers.
Yeah.
2012.
Wow.
Yes.
Ends phase one, as we as super nerds now refer to
I
shit.
I like that.
With
extravaganza.
A bang.
Extravaganza.
I teared up during the scene where you actually see that one continuous long shot of each one of the Avengers culminating in the Avengers Assemble shot.
Right.
I actually teared up in the theaters.
And the theme music?
I had goosebumps, tears. It was such a wonderful fucking moment. Like,
oh, definitely some of the best superhero music outside.
Marvel outdid themselves with that one movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just to see that they could take, it was just, what, how many of them? Like, there's five of them.
Five
just to see five people come together and like, give us that much excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
That was a real big like gauntlet
like,
on the floor
yeah.
that you see like,
like, everything seemed possible
everything.
For Marvel at that point.
Yeah,
and,
yes,
and
yeah.
It opened the door to things like Infinity War and everything else. Like, if they failed on that first movie of five characters, they couldn't do anything else.
Right.
And the fact that they did it and did it so friggin' well, like, it became the benchmark for what hero movie should be.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that was a movie that could have gone wrong in so many ways.
So many
yes.
ways, yeah.
And I will go back and preference this with a DC film because this is how Batman failed.
Mm.
The Schumacher Batmans.
Super fail.
You didn't understand how to take different characters and bring them all together
right.
yes.
into one moment.
Right.
And I think for me the game changer in that was the moment when right before that scene when Iron Man acknowledges Captain America as the leader of the team, and he goes,
yes.
Cap, what do we do?
What do we do?
And he sends them into their point.
That was awesome.
And that was a defining moment. That was writers and directors understanding exactly
yeah.
what to do.
Warm fuzzy feelings all over.
Yeah.
Yes.
I gotta
indeed.
Give that. Warm fuzzies.
Nice.
Warm fuzzies.
Yes.
Warm fuzzies. We don't get the warm fuzzies later. All right.
Oh, sure.
This is the movie that made me cosplay.
That's right.
Nick Fury.
That was your
right.
thing.
Yeah,
that
was it.
That was
it. I'm like, I'm gonna have to be
right.
Fury. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, phase one ends, phase two begins. And not necessarily so good. Because we got Iron Man 3. Which I'm going to just come out and lay this out. Very poor use of a Iron Man staple.
Oh,
Mandarin.
Man.
Really poor use.
I liked it.
Really You did?
I actually did like what they do. I appreciate what they did with the Mandarin. I'm sorry. That shit has some real old Cold War anti-Asian
kind of
sentiment going down.
But come on, Mandarin is supposed to be dropping
the
mad magic
they
shit.
They punked him.
Yeah, they you know what? I see what you're saying, but, you know.
You're supposed to be the magic dude.
I am, but you know what? There's a place and time for all. Especially
right.
for Dr. Strange. I understand. I'm not disagreeing. I understand. You
I
hear with that Dr. Strange shit we got.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
But the Mandarin, I like. I actually, what's his name? It's Ben Kingsley.
No, I mean, phenomenal actor.
It's been.
Which is why I was looking so forward to the character.
Right. But I think for them to
But Ben Kingsley with an actual role as opposed to Ben Kingsley walking around in his fucking pajamas. It's not what I fucking pay $15 for.
I mean, not me either, but I was surprised.
Actually, I figured he would redeem himself after Blood Rain.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
We're still talking about that. Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
Well,
he's still living off of Gandhi.
It's a source of anger, and of course he's still getting Gandhi royalty
he's still getting,
shit.
Like, not even credit. He's still getting credit off of Gandhi. Nobody remembers any movie either after Gandhi.
Nobody even remembers the actual Gandhi.
Right.
I just remember fucking.
This Ben King. You got a face of Ben Kingsley on a poster. It's like, oh shit,
oh,
Gandhi.
Jesus. Oh my God. All right.
Jesus, Ben Kenobi.
Right. You know, right. I wonder if a part of that is they were cautious about introducing magic to an Iron Man movie. Because you're telling me that the Mandarin also was a magician. He's a sorcerer.
Right. Much.
And I think they had a thing where they wanted to kind of keep the magic with Thor.
Yes.
And Iron Man as a future.
But you're going to have to mix it all up eventually. So, I mean, I don't understand
what? Maybe in defense of that, maybe after, and I know we're going to get to Strange.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
When you look at Strange,
mm-hmm.
maybe the fear was we didn't want the magic to look production-wise,
right.
Okay.
Maybe we weren't there yet.
Yeah.
Because when you got to Strange and you got that, it
right.
was like, ah. But if you'd have done that back with this third Iron Man, people probably would have been like, you know what, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, I get it. It's like, because Iron Man in our current day and age is the easier sell.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I get
yeah,
that. I get
yeah.
that.
And I think a real great payoff is like Infinity Wars is a great payoff. In that meeting.
Exactly.
Sorry,
magic
was I too honest there?
I'm sorry.
True that. All right.
Yeah.
So.
But yes, Dark World. No, I totally understand it. And I took it. I get it. No,
like,
it
wasn't my, Dark World was not my favorite,
no.
Which is kind of funny because then, of course, I'm ready to dry hump Ragnarok, so you know that's just.
I think that's how everyone feels, and we just don't know how to deal with the fact that Thor was just kind of like this blip, and then suddenly Ragnarok happened, and we're like, oh shit, we need to take you seriously.
Mm.
And greatest line ever: are you the god of thunder or the god of hammers?
Yeah,
like that's
right.
that's like wow. Well, getting to the motherfucking point.
Right.
Yes.
Now, I'm just gonna throw this one up in the air: Captain America. Winter Soldier.
Woo!
Now,
wow.
Is it fair to call it just as much an espionage movie as it is a superhero
yes.
movie?
Yes.
I think
yes.
it is.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what made it such a strong movie.
Yes.
Exactly.
What makes the Marvel movie so strong? Because they make each one of their things a genre. Like,
different
this
genre.
Is an espionage
exactly.
movie. But like you have other ones like, you know, Ant-Man is a crime, you know, noir movie. You have all these other genres that they keep on mixing together.
Right? Iron Man is corporate espionage.
Iron
Man's corporate espionage. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
And is that probably what some of the ones that did not, that as far as Thor fell short of, is
because
that they
didn't
keep to it.
It didn't know what it was.
Right. It didn't stay to the sword and sorcery aspects of it like it should have.
Yeah.
Right?
Like the first one was trying to be so like run of the mill, but it was like, no, you're fucking
Thor.
What the hell?
Right.
Why are we in like the Midwest?
Right. We don't need we don't need the dark elves looking like Teletubbies.
You know, it almost
right? Really, really come out with your dark elves. You're gonna have some dark elves.
Yeah,
make them motherfuckers dark.
It.
Yeah.
It almost feels like Iron Man 1 and Thor 1 like almost swung for the fences and the ball went out of the park.
Yes. Okay.
Captain America, they were like, we're not too sure what to do with. And then they were too sure of themselves with Iron Man 3 and Thor, The Dark World.
Yes.
And then they were like, well, let's just go on and deal with the Winter Soldier, and hit the ball out the park on that one. They were like, So it almost feels like
Just a flashback. Mm. I have to say, I do appreciate Iron Man 3 and the subject of PTSD.
Mm.
Yes. Definitely.
Okay, fair.
Because no one ever talks about that shit when we talk about superheroes. Like, a friend of mine was like, come on, how Iron Man got PTSD? Because Iron Man ain't a soldier. But he was doing soldier shit.
Yeah.
But he still saw some shit.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. That's very fair.
So, I mean, I got to give it to them for that.
Along those lines, Kirk.
But yes.
How did you feel about the Falcon? How they brought him in. Were you happy with that?
Yes. I was actually happy. I was surprised that, you know, he had that sidekick black character, right? And he kind of comes in kind of whack anyway.
Because in the comics, he's kind of treated as an afterthought. Like, right. Super afterthought.
But for how they introduced him in this.
For years.
They gave him, there was more to him when they introduced him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, they, you know, he works with PTSD soldiers, right? He has a conviction about, he's a military guy. He wants to help them. And you saw that. And they showed he had heart from jump.
Right.
He had a concern from jump. He wasn't just a regular cat. And the fact that, you know, they introduced, you know, Marvin Gaye's Trouble Man. The last time they did that shit was actually in the movie Trouble Man.
Was in the actual movie Trouble Man.
Right? And they gave him all these things. And him actually just being so open with Captain America, like, oh, I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then still having that moment where, I know what the problem is. It's too soft, right? That's so intimate.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was such an intimate thing to place there, and I appreciated that. And I'm not mad at Falcon for being there like that.
All right.
I'm mad at all.
With that said, Avengers Age of Ultron. Now, so you got... No, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
I had to make other notes.
I made other notes of this.
Follow the ball. All right. So, Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes,
we got We got two separate phenomenons here. You got James Spader's voice, which was perfect as Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
You got the really expensive sex bot, Vision.
Yes. Paul Bettany.
Whatever gets butts in seats, man. Whatever gets butts in seats.
The albino himself.
I'm sorry. Yes.
That's how far ahead Tony Stark is. He's making sex bots. But superhero sex bots.
Yep.
So, all right. Age of Ultron. Really kind of just kind of creating all kinds. Because now you got all these superpowered motherfuckers. And now there's the whole... I want to feel you're starting the whole locker room thing of, well, you know, who's really top dog in this bitch?
Yeah.
And there's a scene at the cocktail party.
Probably two of the funniest lines out of that thing was Captain America when he goes, I thought you were trying to find a place in Brooklyn. And Captain America's like, I can't even afford Brooklyn.
Shout out to gentrification.
Yes.
And then probably one of my favorite was War Machine telling the story about how he dropped the tank.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody laughed. So he's like, yeah. That's right.
That was, see, Don Cheadle. You like those little moments.
That moment really cracked me up.
Really cracked up was when they were tugging at the hammer, and he's like, come on, Tony, represent. You want this or what? And they had the jets going.
Although that worried look on Thor's face when Captain.
When he
shook it?
Just a bit.
Shook yes.
Yeah. Like, uh-oh.
Who this motherfucker?
I like that movie.
All right.
Specifically because it starts the arc of Tony Stark really regretting who he has been all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you don't realize it until like later movies and everything, but that is the first moment that like you see him finally be like, oh shit, I actually have to think about the ramifications of what I have done.
Yeah.
And him actually owning it for the first time and him growing as a character.
Right.
Okay.
So for me, that's really Tony's like defining like movie, because it becomes where he really becomes, I think, a hero because he starts actually taking responsibility for the shit that he's done. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know what I mean? He set it off, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, honestly, yeah, he did.
Good arc, actually.
Set it off!
Yes, yeah.
Let's talk about Ant-Man for a minute. Because prior to Ant-Man, I worked with Paul Rudd.
Ooh.
And if there was anybody I was going to say was very unsuperhero-like, mm-hmm. it would be Paul fucking motherfucking Rudd.
Yes.
Yeah.
However,
he's kind of
now, what saves this movie? That the fact that people show up with low expectations.
Yeah.
And are pleasantly surprised by a, as Taryn correctly categorized it, basically a superhero crime noir film.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just, he's what, he's a charming motherfucker? Like, what saved this movie?
Because
it was saved.
Michael Pena saved that movie.
Oh, shit.
Michael Pena.
Hold on.
All right.
Yeah, the Michael Pena.
And then his recaps.
Michael yes. Pena's recap.
That was some funny shit. Yeah. That was some
in his voice.
Yes.
Yeah. When everybody else talking was probably one of the funniest parts of that damn movie.
T.I. was not needed.
I want him to just, like, recap the entire MCU
movie. Yes.
From the beginning to now.
I would love
the next
that.
Movie.
That would be awesome.
That should just be it. Like, it just be like a 5-minute just yes. montage of just him talking about that shit. It'd be the funniest, but most accurate montage ever.
I'm sure somebody did that
Michael
on YouTube,
Pena.
And we just have yet to actually see, go, right. Oh, shit.
Michael Pena, Clef Notes for MCU.
Seriously, dude, come on.
I would like to say this, though, mm-hmm. because, and this kind of stretches backwards a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that some old school A-list actors
mm-hmm.
are placed in prominent roles. You have Michael
yeah.
Douglas.
Yep.
Winter Soldier, you had, Paul,
Robert Redford.
Like people you like.
Oh, wait a minute.
What would you get?
Money.
You gotta name. You gotta find the name. There's a woman. She played that Black Widow disguised herself as. And she's and the thing. This is the sad part. We don't remember her name, but she should be considered sci-fi horror royalty. She was in Logan's Run. And she was in...
You know what, you're right. And the name
and she,
isn't coming to me,
in,
but...
American World from London.
You're absolutely
yes.
right.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, yes. Mm-hmm.
And we don't know her name, and we... And I apologize, because we really should.
Yes.
Because she's been in the game for that long.
It's too bad we don't have one of
and
these
she was in
MI5. And you could just look up shit.
She was great in MI5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
But yes, Michael...
Now, I know we have mixed feelings about Doctor Strange, but since... Since I can pull off the cosplay so well.
Oh, yes. Yes.
West Side? Just kidding.
Yeah. What? Time
Saw? Exactly. Now, I get it. Not everybody necessarily gives a fuck about Dormammu and Sully and, you know, whoever.
Yeah,
but,
that was...
But I got a kick out of it.
Right.
So.
No.
And that's all, I mean, you know.
I like the idea of Dormammu. That was introducing a cosmic entity into the MCU.
Right. So here's the thing. Whether people like the movie or not, Doctor Strange and his solo flick
yeah.
sets him up down the road to be the master strategist in Infinity War.
Yes.
Did anybody else see that coming?
No.
Yes.
No, I don't think I saw that only because I figured we'd get another Doctor Strange movie before we got to see him do
yeah.
that.
Okay. All right.
Because, I mean, if you think about, I mean, I know I'm in the sense of Captain America, becoming the go-to guy,
yeah.
the man. But I would consider, because we got an introductory movie and then we got Avengers, we were able to kind of move into that.
Mm-hmm.
With Strange, because of everything that he had to go through, I thought it'd be a little bit longer before we saw him become that much of a strategist.
He's more like a tactician. Yeah.
That's
true. They did rush his being
yeah.
badass Bruce Lee blah with fucking... Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right. All right.
I mean, he's the Marvel Universe Bruce Lee.
That's
so
he was, yeah, he was. It, like you're saying, it did feel rushed, and I didn't think much of it until like see him in Ragnarok, and I don't see him more as a technician. I saw him more as the R&D, research and development.
Did it actually bother you? Like seeing that
research
jump,
and development.
Seeing that jump in Infinity War, where he's suddenly like literally taking on Thanos for a good 30 seconds just,
you know,
by himself. Did that actually bother you to see that jump? Because I didn't even think about it.
You know what? I didn't. Because, like I said, after the whole
thing... Like, I accepted it completely.
Because he, to date, is the only Marvel superhero that we've met who actually has battled a cosmic entity.
Right.
No one else has.
Yeah.
And he did it without drawing. That was and that's what I really appreciated about Doctor Strange.
Okay.
He didn't do it with Braun. He did it what he had, R&D, research and development. I got a time shit. I'm just gonna keep that shit loop going until he figures out that he can't.
Which, of course, further explains why I dress like him on Halloween. Right. All
right. I thought it's because of the collar was so, like the collar popping up like
that.
It's
all of that.
It's all about the collar.
Because he can't really do Lando like that, but he can do Doctor Strange.
Yeah. I'm actually torn about that, by the way. I may surprise you motherfuckers this Halloween. I'm just saying. All right. All right, I'm saying, so there's a reason I skipped over. That's fucked up. There's a reason I skipped over Guardians of the Galaxy being a...
Okay.
You know, so I wanted to talk about them both at the same time because basically, you know, we can all agree, I think, both enjoyable movies.
Yes.
Groot is the fucking bomb.
Yeah.
But it's like I want to give these two movies the Marvel Tearjerker Award.
Yes.
Because, and I'll be completely honest, I saw both movies by myself because, and not only, it's good because I don't like crying in front of people. That's why I'm not going to see Won't You Be My Neighbor in public, because I know that's gonna be like,
exactly.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Come on, Fred. You know, I'm going to be fucked up.
Yeah. Right. No doubt.
So, movie one, you got Groot, self-sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Movie Guardians 2, you've got Yondu. Self-sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you didn't cry a little bit during that shit, you have no fucking soul.
Yeah. Say his name. Say his name. Mary motherfucking Poppins. Mary motherfucking Poppins.
But Guardians of the Galaxy, here's my thing with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So Ego... Is trying to destroy the universe, basically.
Right.
Take over the universe, yeah.
Further down the road, Thanos is basically announcing the same thing. It's just like, you know, it's basically Pepsi and Coke at this point in terms of how that's happening. And we can get into this more when we actually land on Infinity War, but I'm just putting it out there. The way Ego was handed, it's like everybody was pulling out Uzis. They were going in the trunk. They were like, "Yo, son, yo, this how it is, man. We ain't trying to fuck with no Ego, son." And everybody went crazy.
Yeah,
and crazy lethal right out of the gate. What the fuck?
What do you mean?
I'm saying, well, when we fighting Thanos, not exactly.
Because he had two powers.
Because Ego ain't beat the Hulk. Ego ain't beat the Hulk.
All you could do is just shoot it.
Well, actually, it's a planet, right? Nobody thinks that.
There was some build up.
And it was like mad, like, you know, I'm all powerful. I got shit flying off.
Right.
You know, put the fucking thing through Quill's back.
You know what?
Now you're going to be a battery. All this shit happened.
I think
they went gangster
on
that motherfucker. As opposed to Thanos.
What happened was he said the thing about his mother.
Right.
In that one moment, Peter didn't even hesitate. He just went for it, which later on
he doesn't
let you know about what he's going
to
do later on.
I get that, but Thanos is trying to kill everybody's mama.
But
that's the moment that changed everything.
Or at least half of everybody's mama.
Any kind of discussion after that. The moment that he said something about his mother, it became, I'm going to kill
you. No, and I get it.
I think it's because we got to realize these are two different groups we're talking about. Guardians of the Galaxy are actually psychotic killers. Drax kills motherfuckers.
Yes.
He stabs them, right?
Yes.
Quill ain't really above killing a motherfucker either. Gamora's an assassin. Rocket Raccoon likes to just shoot and blow shit up.
He's a murderer. Yeah,
the Guardians of the Galaxy are psychotic killers.
But they were fighting Thanos too.
I know, but remember, they were fighting. They were fighting Thanos, but they broke up fighting Thanos. They ain't fighting Thanos together. You got Quill. Gamora's dead.
All right.
It's just Drax and got his knives, and Quill fucked it up because they had him.
Mm-hmm.
And Quill went Rocky on somebody and tried to do something. You had the real killers on Earth fighting Wakanda. Groot and Rocket.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing I think that we're looking at here.
But
it's different people.
But here's my thing. Do you see my point?
I do see your point.
I see your point.
All right. Then
I see your point.
Then we will move on.
You're looking for psychotic killers over here going, and it's Captain America leading the team.
We're in Bushwick.
Yeah.
Was
Bushwick.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, hold on. Yes. Yes.
All right, Spider-Man Homecoming. Look, Sony, thank you for realizing you suck at making Spider-Man movies.
Yes, thank you,
so you hand it over, and so I'd say the kid, Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Adorable and effective.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Marvel for making Queens multicultural.
Right.
Yes, because, wait, hold on. Why is Queens more multicultural than Xandar?
They don't have a 7 train.
Okay, all right.
So
I was curious.
No, for real. Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Michael Keaton.
Hold on.
Slam fucking dunk. Michael Keaton. Keep it real.
Let's put him in every movie.
You know what it is about Michael Keaton? Michael Keaton disappears for a period of time, and then when he comes back, It's sort of like he walks up and punch you in the face.
Yes.
Just to remind you he's Michael Keaton and keeps walking down the street.
Michael Keaton is the American Ben Kingsley.
But the fact that he's great.
Minus the pajamas.
2 years prior, you're playing Birdman.
Birdman.
And somebody called you up to play the Vulture.
The Vulture.
And
he just went with that.
What I love about what they did with that was that he was the everyman villain.
Yeah.
This wasn't a guy that I'm gonna reference this later with Black Panther.
Yeah.
This was a guy that I think all of us could relate to as hardworking people who get screwed over by some company that comes in and is
that
to me hurt me over the fact that they walked in, they took the contract from him, and didn't even pay, we'll compensate you and your men. We're just gonna take your contract.
Right. I would at least hope that Tony Stark would come himself to explain the situation.
I could understand that.
It's so unfair. You would think Trump was president.
Wait a minute.
I just want to say that scene.
Yes.
In the car where he is driving them to prom.
Yes.
And they're having this talk between the daughter and Peter and the dad and looking through that rear view mirror and just the eyes of Peter and the dad just locking in the certain moments of just being like, you just know at certain moments like, oh shit, Peter knows. Oh shit, dad knows. Oh shit, daughter knows nothing. We need daughter to leave. Let's have this moment of talking.
Who directed that?
That was a good scene.
But just the acting in that one scene, the eyes and everything was just so wonderfully done. So subtle. But so strong. I love that fucking scene.
That was it. Exactly.
I love it.
And then, of course, there's the great
Spider-Man right up there.
Aunt May. The new hot Aunt May.
Wait. What are the jokes we had with Aunt May? What are the jokes we made with Aunt May?
Her biological clock is ticking like this.
Do it.
You jamming with Aunt May? Hanging out with Spider-Man. Yo, I can't believe this, son.
Oh my God.
I have to figure out what character's booking Woodbye gonna play? We're like, probably play Aunt May's husband or like boyfriend.
He's coming swinging like
baby boy.
Replacement Shocker with a fucking 40 of St. Ives in a hand talking about, yo, son.
I would have loved the baby boy scene in Spider-Man.
Oh,
Yo, what's up, Peter? How you doing in school, man? Where's your mom? Where are you? Hold on. I'm just, you know, she's sleeping right now. She kind of tired.
All right.
Hi, auntie.
Oh, snap.
I have to say, whoever, I got to give kudos to the person who wrote the script. One of my favorite things about this Spider-Man is his reference to pop culture.
Yes.
There's nothing funny, and just the way... Cause
you ever seen that really old movie? Fuck you, Peter Parker.
Because we're all sitting
right
there like,
that's us.
Really old, and really? Like, you know, where did we find this kid? I didn't carbon date him. Hey.
He does that a lot, doesn't he?
I'm gonna do it again.
It's like that movie Footloose. The greatest movie ever made.
Never was.
Never was.
That was awesome.
It's so the greatest movie ever made. Never was. It's like the hurt on his face.
And he's like, what?
I just want to show Peter Quill and Peter Parker just talking about like the current events of the pop culture and just seeing Peter Quill's heart just break more and more.
Or is
that?
That would be so much fun for me.
I'm sure somebody's done it on YouTube.
Peter Talk.
That has to be like in the Soul Jam
situation.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm doing in the Soul Jam. Just chill.
The best Peter Parker. To me, the best Spider-Man.
Hands down.
Was, where you from, kid? I'm from Queens. Brooklyn. like somebody from New York.
Yes.
Because everybody in Brooklyn was like,
every Brooklyn theater was like, yeah.
He's like, who you got in a fight with who? This guy from Brooklyn. He's a real big guy.
Okay.
Sorry, we're off the mark. Yeah. Spider-Man is awesome.
Spider-Man was awesome. And then there was Civil War, which you just referenced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Avengers Age of Ultron, I didn't necessarily feel like it surpassed the first Avengers.
I don't think so either.
But Civil War, Captain America Civil War, I would say that surpassed everything that had followed it.
Yes.
It's
the first time that I've actually saw an actual clash of superheroes that way, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
It had to.
The only thing, of course, is except for a couple of very rare moments, there wasn't an official winner in a lot of those. And that's how they do it anyway.
Yeah.
That's basically the rule. It's like you got superheroes fighting. More than likely, it's going to be a draw.
Right.
Until there's an actual villain that shows up.
Unless there's an actual good or bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Civil War was kind of like what Avengers 2 should have been.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. Because I keep forgetting it's actually a Captain America movie.
I actually think of it as Avengers 2. Yeah.
As Avengers 2. Because you forget it's actually a Captain America movie. It's part of the Captain America movie.
And the thing about Civil War, what got me was that up until the movie came out, I didn't know Black Panther was in it.
Really?
No, because the trailers didn't really show him.
Yeah.
So when
surprise.
He popped up, I was like,
man.
Whoa, now we got Black Panther in here.
When I found
out
Black Panther was up in there, I was scared. I was like, oh man, it's gonna be good.
And
then when he was good,
and,
I was like, oh, this is good.
And that unfortunately, it's as men of color and lady of color, I think, and it's sad. It's like, you hear that your hero, your black hero, is going to be in a movie, and you're first thought is like when you're watching the news and you're like hearing about some heinous crime and you're like, oh, please don't let him be black. Please don't let him. You're
please
worried.
Don't let him be Tyler Perry.
Right. It's like you're actually worried about how your hero is going to be treated.
Yeah, right.
And it's something that I dare say that non-pigmented nerds don't suffer from.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So. No. Anything, you know what? You can sugarcoat it. There's mad white superheroes. There's mad white protagonists, antagonists. It's kind of like, if you don't like how it was portrayed in that movie, guess what? You're going to come back again. Mm-hmm. How many Tarzans have there been? Please tell me.
And what do they have in common?
They're all white dudes in Africa.
Yeah, that's right.
But not to downplay, but yeah, I mean, let's be honest. When they finally have an idea to actually do a Native American superhero on film, I think they're just going to be just as bad, like, oh, I hope it's not.
No. But that, you know what, and that was my initial worry about the Black Panther film. It wasn't that, because I know I had made comments about, I was worried about it, and a lot of people said, well, it's going to make its money. And I'm like, it's not about it making its money.
No.
I hope that, because literally, his origin story is Civil War. That's the first time we really get to see him and his father. What worried me...
Which was absolutely brilliant, the way they wrote that in.
Was, yes.
Because they didn't have to take a whole movie to make his origin story up.
And what worried me was that now that we've introduced him, we can kind of do... Because most of those Marvel superheroes weren't introduced that way.
No.
Everybody had their standalone movies first.
Well, Black Widow didn't.
Well, no. Black Widow and S.H.I.E.L.D., the S.H.I.E.L.D. in it itself.
And there's a couple of them, you can't. I mean,
but I mean, in terms of if you go back to Thor, when we first get our glimpse of what's his name,
Hawkeye,
very quick cameo, you know,
but a very smart cameo,
but here what we're talking about is that Panther was introduced as a seminal part of that film.
Yeah.
He wasn't a cameo.
He
didn't pop in and then pop out.
Right.
He was in there for the haul.
Yes.
So when we got ready to introduce him to his own movie, what we're talking about now, we're taking him out of that element we already are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to introduce people to something that they would never...
We may have heard in
the background.
Right.
So we could have done anything we wanted with Wakanda.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what worried me, because I knew the movie was going to do well. And like I said, the only disappointment for me with Black Panther was Killmonger. Because I felt Killmonger was much more complex of a character than what they gave us.
Yeah.
I really think as
something was left on the cutting
room floor. Whose background is from a society that's technologically advanced, but you grew up in a society where, as a black man in America,
you're an enemy.
You're an enemy, and now you're basically, you watched your homeland. You learn where you come from.
Mm.
This isn't like us finding out, oh, my mother's side of the family from Nigeria. No, you're from there.
It's bigger than that.
And I really thought, and I'm sure we got plenty of time to revisit him.
Yeah.
We got plenty of time to revisit him. But I thought that we kind of got just all angry Killmonger. As opposed to, it wasn't just about his anger. It was just so much more to that character.
Yeah.
It
should be a director's cut.
Yeah.
Where there's more about his emotional state of being.
Yeah.
And his choices he's making are all emotional based. Because
I can't even look at him as an enemy.
None of them were, all of them were.
Well, we're not, we aren't going to, no.
But the thing is that he wasn't. That's why in the actual movie, he actually convinces T'Challa to change his mind.
Yeah.
He looks at his ancestors, he looks at his father, his grandfather, and tells them, you have been wrong all this time. Killmonger convinced him.
Yeah. He did.
He wasn't the bad guy.
No.
We end the movie knowing that he's the anti-hero in a weird way.
Yes.
He needed to die because of what he was.
I
have a question. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it that he convinced him, or is it the circumstances of his existence?
He convinced them.
No.
Between him and Nakia. Between the two of them, they were saying the exact same argument, except Killmonger was like, I'm going to kill you if you don't agree with me. But the two of them were saying the exact same thing from two different angles.
No, they weren't saying the exact same thing.
Not the exact same thing. No, you're both right.
It's like Thanos and Ego. Thanos wants he doesn't want to destroy the universe.
No,
he wants to purge it.
Let's stick with Killmonger and
Nakia. Nakia wants to be part of the UN and be part of the problem. She wants to solve the problem
with
helping people. It's like,
but
you know
the
what?
Point is, she wants to open up the borders.
But she wants to open the borders.
Right.
Killmonger doesn't want to open up the borders. He wants to take over.
But he does want to open up the borders, but to take over. That's the thing.
Well, no, he doesn't want to open the borders. He wants to send out weapons to take over. That doesn't mean your borders are open.
But it does for Lucas, like he was trying to do, because he wants to then rule that place. Right. That you don't send out people and then close your borders when you want to rule that place. You open up the border and like, I'm gonna now, this is now my turf.
Well, you know what? I'll take it back. You know what? Then it's like this. There's a difference between being an actual door and being a one-way mirror.
Fair enough.
Right? Kilmar wanted to be that one-way mirror. I'm sending shit out to y'all.
But the thing is that they were both trying to tell him basically, you need to open up the doors. Yes. Whether or not, what you did did that, that's another story. But they were both saying, you need to open the doors. And they convinced him, both of them. So he wasn't, I don't think, the bad guy in that movie. I think he was just the anti-hero.
I got you.
Right. I get it. And to Mark's point of expanding the character and everything else like that, I think what the director was thinking, to be honest, is I think he wanted to say a lot of things through Killmonger.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He also didn't want him to just leave him out there, so then the message could get corrupted after the fact.
Gotcha. Right.
And the best way to do that is to drop him in, let him raise hell, and then get him the fuck out.
Right. Yep. Gotcha.
So that way, nothing gets tarnished.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Thanks, man. So, now that we've discussed Black Panther.
Again.
All right, quick question. I'm sorry, real quick. Somebody brought up an interesting point. That Ragnarok actually would have been just as much more interesting if somebody as Guardians
Side with
Hela. Hela. Because Hela's taking over. But she's old school. She's been there from the jump. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of old school Asgardians still alive.
So wait, what's the question?
Somebody brought up an interesting point about the idea of what made Ragnarok that much heavier, I guess, for lack of a better term, is if there was actually a civil war within Asgard itself already. Because Hela's coming in, not as a stranger, there's people in Asgard who still remember her.
But why would anybody side with her? Because she just wants to kill everything.
Yeah, no, because
she's
of her.
She's literally the god of death.
She's literally because of, her and Odin, because of what they did in the past, is what Asgard is now.
Right, no, totally.
That's why.
All right.
That's why. It's kind of like now. It's like now. Nobody wants, everybody wants that shit to go back to where it was back in the 50s and 30s. Not realizing that shit is changing. That's what I'm saying. Not everybody. Shit is changing. You have the change with Odin and Thor. You have some people who might want to come back.
It changed the vibe of the movie.
That's what I'm saying. It would have. But I still thought it would have been a little interesting to see, like instead of just zombies attacking the Asgardians around me, you have other Asgardians also attacking. And that would have been just very heavy in terms of, I know this, this is a real civil war. Asgard really is.
So what you would have bought into, basically, idea of Hela as Trump.
Just another story, yes.
Just so we understand each other. That's where you're taking it.
It's just another dimension, another place.
And I get it. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
All right, so.
So, yes, yeah. Because not all Asgardians is good, man. Come on.
I don't know. They all seem very nice to me.
Hella shit says
I was looking for, when I first saw the first Thor movie, I was wondering what a one bedroom goes for in Asgard.
yeah.
She gave us a five.
So.
I thought you were saying what?
Yes. Infinity War.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We've actually finally got there. Ha ha. Yeah, we're over an hour, but yeah, all right. Fine, whatever. Yeah.
In 5 minutes, Infinity War.
No. It's going to be what it's going to be.
Peter Quill fucked up.
Well, that's the all right. First of all,
I'm sorry, yeah.
We've got, and I kind of brought this up already, the lack of true deadly force.
Yes.
Infinity War for me is a lot like, you know, it was like that one night stand that you regret after the fact. So it's kind of like, it was fun at the moment, and then you go home and you're like, what the fuck did I just do? The lack of deadly force thing.
Uh-huh.
He says he's going to destroy half of the beings in the universe.
Yes.
Why aren't we cutting his arm off? Why aren't
because
we aiming for the head?
Because they can. You saw an entire fight sequence with Iron Man, and all he did was bing, and he even says, all that for a drop of blood. Literally, do you not think that Iron Man has explosive missiles and everything?
No,
he
true.
He can't hurt Thanos. No one can just go slink and chop him. The only one who can is literally Thor. Once he has Stormbreaker. If he had Stormbreaker in that scene, he totally could chop up his arm. But aside from having that weapon, there is no one in that fight sequence who could have touched Thanos in such a way that could have took off his arm.
To that point, I will only say there was a point where he was half unconscious.
But it still doesn't Mantis. Make a difference because the fact that he got scratched after all that fight wasn't because he was blocking or anything. It's because he is just that fucking strong. He can be unconscious. You can just pummel him. You will still not be able to chop up his arm unless you have Stormbreaker because he is just that friggin' awesome.
Then how about this one thing? Because I see what he's saying. And during that scene on Titan, Mantis comes down and does a thing, right?
Yes.
They got the arm.
Yes.
Drax wants him dead.
Yes.
Why did Drax change his motivation?
Because Drax was smart enough to actually put the needs of the team above his own. Unlike
Drax? Smart? When did that happen?
Drax is logical.
But Drax,
is not stupid. He's just highly, highly logical.
That nigga's invisible.
For really ignorant.
That nigga's invisible.
No, you're right. He is.
That's
but
all
he is.
He
does
what he needs to do. He's a logicist. I'm going to say that word wrong because I'm drunk.
Logistics.
Thank you. But the point is that he saw that the point is that him taking on his own little vendetta was going to be nothing in comparison with the needs of everyone else in his team.
Understood.
And I feel if Rocket was there with him on Titan, he's the hottest one. He'd be like, shoot him, shoot
Rocket
him, shoot him.
Rocket would have been egging them on.
Right. Like,
yeah.
Shoot
Rocket
him,
would have been wrapped up with Quill.
Right.
Just like totally up there.
But Mantis and Drax aren't really those kind of people.
No, they're more patient. They're more thoughtful. That's why they had that whole bonding experience.
All right.
Nebula?
Okay.
Wait, what's Nebula's reason then?
Nebula's reason is because she can't. You don't think she wants to? She's not strong enough yet.
Yet.
If anybody's read the comic, Nebula's not strong enough yet, but give her time.
No spoilers.
Give her time.
What spoilers? If anybody's in here that's actually listening
to
us,
it's like a 20-year-old comic
story. Had not seen Infinity War, like they're going to get the spoiler tonight?
Seriously.
Really? Seriously? I'm not fucking worried about that at all.
It's like 20 years old. It's not really a spoiler anymore.
Thank you.
It's a 20 years old story. Come on.
So, let's talk quickly on this.
Okay.
Do it.
Obviously, everyone was traumatized to watch fucking Spider-Man die. I don't think anybody. Again.
We got Miles Morales.
Again. That's fucked up.
I know.
But Black Panther's death, quote unquote, that felt unfair as fuck. And I'm going to go out so far as to say that may have as much to do with Chadwick Boseman's contract negotiation as anything else.
Really?
Because I'm a cynical fuck. Yes, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to say, oh, so we paid you, what, $300,000 for the movie, and now, wait, oh, shit, so we might need to, because you're going to, if we let you live, you're going to come in here to your fucking agent and be like, hey, man, check this out.
To be fair, he's got two more movies on his contract.
Yeah.
He's got two more movies.
He could just be flashback.
He could totally be flashback.
He could just be flashback, nigga, you know?
But he's definitely on contract for two more movies until he can be like, yo, I'm fucking Black Panther.
You know?
That's good news.
I blamed the potato salad.
I gotta check something real quick.
Damn you, Karen.
Raisins.
Damn you.
Karen, the raisins.
Fucking raisins.
I wonder if I do wonder if it's a setup again. You know how they've been setting up the movies for something extra to come in?
Yes.
Like we need
like
something.
Like the Eternals.
Like the Eternals, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a setup for Black Panther's second storyline. Him being, you know, disappeared off and then him coming back might be like the way they played it with Avengers and Iron Man and using that as part of the character. Flaw. They gotta give him another flaw.
I think when we see what they're actually doing in the soul world, because I'm of the mindset that they're actually conscious in that world and they're doing things in there.
Right.
I might be wrong. But I'm of the mindset. But I think once we see what they're actually doing and like what they're facing in there, we're gonna see the arc that Black Panther is on, where we're gonna see the impetus of what his next movie is.
You might actually have like a faith. What's the word I'm looking for? A conflict of faith.
He might.
He's in the soul. He's in the soul stone. He's not seeing Bass. He's not seeing Bass. He's not seeing his father. He's not seeing anybody from the afterlife. And he's supposed to be in this place. It could be a
totally could be.
Try bring a new religion to Wakanda. They're like, stop playing. You know what I mean?
I think he's too much of a scientist for that. But I think that it could open up his mind in a way that he wasn't really looking at before.
Right. I don't use too much of a scientist and spiritualist.
Definitely spiritualist. Yeah.
But it might change his whole idea of what the spirit world really is.
Yeah, totally.
It might even open his mind up to
that.
You're
in a fucking stone, yeah.
Right.
Changes your whole view on that.
He might be like, you know, we're going to open up, we'll open up Wakanda to all this other stuff. Man, but guess what? We're going, bitches. We're going to Mars, bitches.
And on that note.
Black Panther 2.
And on that note, yes. we're going a little past an hour now. So, final thoughts. Tara.
Thank you, Marvel, for being awesome, and I really much looking forward to Infinity War Part 2 and seeing who actually comes back.
I am ready for Ant-Man 2. Yes. I am so hyped to see Ant-Man 2. I'm really excited for Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
Surprised the hell out of me, Marvel. You're doing good. But I gotta be honest, I'm curious about that Aquaman on DC.
I mean... It's Momoa. I don't know if you'd
Thank
be so
you.
Interested.
Church of Momoa.
So
I wouldn't be interested. I wouldn't be interested if it was Momoa.
Exactly.
So I'll be honest.
You know, now that you say
All right. Well,
yeah. And Yahya Muhammad. Yeah, that too.
Now that you say that, I hope they do with Momoa what they did with Kevin Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Sorry, Kevin Reynolds.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds. No, let me tell you why.
You mean make it R-rated Aquaman movie?
No. Let him play Aquaman and then come over here and play Submariner.
Yup.
Yes. Oh, that would be awesome.
Yes.
Oh, wait, I was thinking Namor. Okay.
Yeah.
Same dude.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. I actually buy that.
Anyway.
Yes.
I don't think we're coming up with anything stronger than that.
What you got? No, what you got? Yeah.
What have I got?
Yeah, what you got, baby?
What have I got? I am looking forward to seeing who the fuck comes back to life.
This is what I'm saying. Who's gonna
that's,
come back?
That's what I'm, you know, because right now I have to admit I'm a little Lando in my feelings at this moment. And that's kind of where I'm at. So, that's right. I'm ending with a Star Wars reference. We're out of here. We love you. Thank you for joining us for our 50th episode.
Thank you
to Precious Metals for letting us take over their stage.
Thank you, Precious
Metals. Tip your Winter Soldier looking bartender.
Yes.
And that is it. For tonight.
Yeah, you need to see it.
God bless.
God bless.
We're out.
Yes. No. No, I you know what I did.